Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome all to another edition of The Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I'm here with Suzette and Dr. Don, and we're getting ready to have a great discussion, and we want to include you in it as well. Today is June 17, 2016, and it is an auspicious day because it is the birthday of Rick Sterling, who is the director of Spirit of Truth Ministry, and we want to wish him a very, very happy birthday. He is out with his family today, and he will also be out tomorrow, but he will be on the air with us tomorrow via telephone. Today, we're on our own, and we get a chance to, when the cat is away, the mice get to play. So we hope that you have a wonderful experience with us today. We encourage you to call in. Our call-in numbers are listed up on the page there. By the way, it looks like Linda just showed up. Want to say hi?
Linda, we're glad you're with us.
Amen. And we were just saying that Rick is not here today, Linda. He's off because of his, well, he is not here. I won't say he's off.
No, man.
He's not off, but
no.
He is not here because he is away with his family for his birthday, which is coincidentally today. So I want to encourage you to call in either to listen or to make comments. We also have a chat room that is up. We're on chat. I'm on chat monitoring that. And there I have linked our two websites. The first website, primary website, is WordPress. And WordPress is located at spiritoftruthministry.net. The second website is our original website, located at spiritoftruthministry.net/ capital S, capital T, and capital M. So we encourage you to go there. And if you have any comments that you want to make, you are more than welcome to do so. And I will pass them along to our group. Let's have prayer. Father in heaven, we are here called according to your spirit to testify to your words, the words that Jesus Christ brought from you, from the heavenly realm to this earth to teach us the truth. I thank you, Father, that you will be with us today as you have promised, in spirit and in truth. And in all things, may we honor your name, the name of your Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, whose name is wisdom. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we had a very interesting discussion this morning. Oh, by the way, just to let you know, WordPress is now at 8,060. So we have over 8,000 people who have registered to get the emails that indicate when a new piece, a new writing is placed on the website. No, but there are, I think almost all of the major countries are represented. I've gone back. I know we have people from Australia, from New Zealand, from Germany. I've seen people from Britain, and actually I've even seen several, quite a number from China. So this is very, very interesting, interesting stuff. Now, of course, our hearts go out to the people in Orlando and the victims of the tragedy that occurred this last week. And we pray that what will happen beyond this will lead us to a greater understanding of what it means to be a productive citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm not going to go into, we're not going to talk about politics. We don't do that here. On the other hand, I just want to point out that what we talk about on this show is the involving the realm of the kingdom of heaven. There are two kingdoms that exist on this earth. There is the kingdom of this world, and there is the kingdom of heaven. And the reason that I know that specifically is because if you and if you want proof from Scripture, you can go to Revelation 11 and you can read verse 15 and hear what it says. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." We can also see this described in Jesus's own words, incidentally, which I find fascinating. When he was talking to Pilate in the Praetorium in Jerusalem, the center of Roman government, and Jesus was asked by Pilate, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now, and this is just the study before the study. Now, okay, this is starting in John 18:33. The ultimate text, the text that proves the point, is verse 36. So, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now, what were the Jews at the time that Jesus was teaching the truth? Okay, what did you say, Don? Say that again.
The kingdom of heaven.
The kingdom of heaven, all right? But they existed where? Where did that kingdom reside? In Jerusalem, in Palestine. It was the Jewish people. And Jesus answered and saying, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" In other words, Jesus is asking that rhetorically to point out that if Pilate had not been told about this, Jesus would not be standing in front of him. Right? If
say that again.
Did Pilate know who Jesus was?
Obviously not.
So, did Jesus tell Pilate to come and get me? Claiming to be. No, who said that?
No.
It was the leadership of the Jews. In fact, Pilate even says this. Mm. So, Jesus said, "Are you saying this on your own initiative?" Obviously, Pilate wasn't. Pilate answered and admitted it and said, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me." In other words, the chief priest told Pilate about Jesus and accused him of usurping power from Caesar. And so Pilate had to respond. Pilate had to go find out. Pilate's job as the prelate of Rome in Jerusalem, he had to secure the power of Rome.
Yeah. Wow.
And see, we don't talk about this very much because we just kind of gloss over it. So after he asked Jesus, he says, "Your own nation and chief priest delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus knew why he was there.
Hmm.
He knew why Pilate asked him, demanded, went, sent for him,
right,
arrested him off the streets. And here it is. Jesus answered.
Yes.
This is John 18:36. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting you so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, now listen to this. My kingdom is not of this realm.
Yeah, right.
This realm.
Yeah.
What realm is Jesus's kingdom associated with? The heavens.
Mm-hmm.
He is the king of the kingdom that exists in the heavenly realm.
And so many people believe that God is in control of this world.
That's,
I run into that all the time.
That's exactly, you need to pull that closer.
Oh, okay,
it's fine. But you're right, Suzette. You're right.
It blows my mind.
People believe that Jesus is sovereign in this world. Christians
and
believe
he's in control
that,
of everything.
And he is in control of everything. So everything that happens to you, good and bad, is because Jesus either wanted it to or he allowed it.
Which is
and,
what I encountered this week.
Now, let me ask you, why is that inaccurate? I've got to have a response. Why is that inaccurate? Why?
Satan offered this world to Jesus.
How come Satan could offer this? Well,
because
wait a minute. We don't know that that story actually occurred.
Isn't that, it in Matthew?
No, it's in, well, it is. Remember, a lot of dovetailing went across. The timing does not fit that story. If you look at the timing in John about this, there's not enough time for Jesus to have gone into the wilderness for that. But we won't talk about that today. Okay?
Okay.
What we do know is that Jesus stated, my kingdom is not of this realm. And then, again, to go back to Revelation 11, when the seventh angel sounds, it is at that time that loud voices will declare from heaven, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Is, that is Revelation 11:15, is God's kingdom this earth now?
No.
It is not for sure. And Jesus only commands the kingdom of the heavens. Oh, but I'm a member of the family of God. I've been baptized. I've been slain by the Spirit. I've been covered. I've been covered by grace.
Yeah.
Jesus's blood covers me in my sin. Now, people wonder why God doesn't do more to alleviate the suffering of this world within, quotes unquote, within his kingdom. And you know why? You know what the answer to that is?
Mm-hmm.
He can't. He cannot do it because no one at this moment exists in the kingdom of heaven. Ah. Well, see, that's the whole point about what Jesus came to this earth to do.
Right.
All right. And part of this is why we're going to talk about what I want to talk about today. So rather than answer that question directly, we're going to shift gears just for a minute, and I'm going to start asking questions. There is, has anybody been born again?
No.
Why? Suzette, you just said no, very emphatically. Why do you believe that no one has been born again?
You put me on the spot.
I'm putting you on the spot. You have to know this.
And I know it. I just don't.
No. Okay. Well, it's John 3. It's John 3. John 3, 3 and 5.
In the book of John.
In book of John.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Let's go there. We're going to go to John 3.
Okay. I have trouble.
And we're going to go John 3:3.
Okay.
Truly, By the way, that's emphatic.
Yeah, it is. Very.
I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I got a question for you. Does God have a family? God have a family in heaven. Who are they? Who's the family of God? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Are there any human beings that are alive in heaven that are part of the family of God? Well, there are human beings in heaven, aren't there? There's 24 of them, 24 elders.
Mm-hmm.
But are they part of the family of God? Or were they taken to heaven on the credit card? Now, see, what I'm saying is this. When, for instance, I happen to think, Enoch walked with God. Why did Enoch walk with God? Because he was righteous in his day. Was righteous. Who else was righteous?
Abraham
was righteous. He was blameless before God.
Mm-hmm.
Was David righteous? He was a murdering philanderer. But God called him a man after my own heart.
Mm.
Would God call someone who wasn't righteous a man after my own heart?
Mm-mm.
You see,
so David did something. He asked for forgiveness.
And he meant it. So, listen, here's where I'm going with this.
Mm.
What did Jesus come to this earth to accomplish according to his own words?
Mm.
Well, that's what we're going to find out when we go back to John 18, and we're going to now go to verse 36. Here it is. And then we'll read 37. So we'll restate 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting you, so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Why was Pilate asking that question? To make sure there was no threat to Caesar. Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this reason I have been born, and for this reason I have come into the world, to share with you the gospel of salvation by faith through grace, and that I love everyone so much that my blood covers all of their sin, all of the sins of the world." But you know what, Suzette?
I know.
He could have.
Yeah, he could have very easily.
But you see, the thing is, he could have. He is God. He knew what was coming. Didn't he? He knew what was coming. He is the greatest prophet, and there's only one thing that Jesus said that he didn't know when he was alive on earth, and that was when he was coming back. So Jesus did not issue the gospel that Paul invented. He could have said right then and there, "Here is what I have come to do. I'm going to save everybody. As long as they believe in me, my grace will cover them, and then they will be with me in paradise."
Mm-hmm.
And people point to the criminal that changed his heart on the cross was on the cross.
Yeah.
The problem is that's hyperbole and a fiction. Because in Matthew and Mark, it does not say that that criminal recanted. It says that he was cursing God until
all
the
yeah,
until
both
of them and both of them until he died.
Yeah.
So here's what Jesus actually said. You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world. Testify to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. The implied word there is already.
Yep.
You see, if you are not of the truth, you cannot come into the kingdom.
Right.
If you have truth, what is it that you must have to demonstrate that? You must be righteous. Now, I am talking currently with a number of people on a forum and explaining this. And they none of them believe that anyone can ever become righteous.
And then
I said, why is it that Jesus stressed that as the central focus of the gospel of the kingdom? If you are going to be in the kingdom of heaven, you have to be born again. Is there anyone who is born of the same mother as gave birth to Jesus Christ, and this is not Mary, who is not completely righteous?
But nobody can be righteous. Everybody sins and has fallen short of the glory of God.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah, it is in the Bible.
I'm going to read you two more verses, and then we're going to go to the next set of questions.
Verses.
Revelation 12. 1. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5, and she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, a scepter of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Who is that male child?
Jesus.
It is Jesus Christ. Verse 17, Revelation 12:17. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went into heaven to make war with that woman. Is that what it does not say that? Satan at this point has been cast down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
He and all of his angels, because there was no place found for him anymore in heaven, and he cannot get to this woman, and he couldn't kill her even if he did.
Yeah.
Because this woman is the Holy Spirit, whose name is Wisdom, and she is the one who gave birth to her son, the firstborn son, Jesus Christ. But is that all she has given birth to?
Mm-mm.
So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her children, those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. But nobody can keep the commandments of God. And everybody who's a Christian loves the testimony of Jesus as inspired by Paul. Do you see the issue there? Because, and we're getting to the, here is where we're going with this. I want you to go to Matthew 24. And I want you to go to verse 1. And I'm going to start reading. Jesus came out of the temple and he was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, do you not see these things? Truly, I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. By the way, Don, what would you call that statement? No, What do you call it? What is it? What is, describe, give me a descriptive one, single descriptive word. Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another. Were the stones still up when he was looking at it? He said, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. It's what? Prophecy. It's prophecy.
Prophecy.
Prophecy. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. This was not a general discussion.
No.
This was with his 12, saying, they had just heard him say something astounding.
Yeah.
Their world would be collapsed at that time without the temple.
Yeah, that was unthinkable.
That's the end of the world for them.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us when these things will happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. Notice they did not say the end of the world.
No. Age. Yeah.
So he's sitting, he sits down on the Mount of Olives overlooking, and Don, you've been there. They climbed up from the little Kidron Valley where the Kidron goes by, and then I guess, what is it, up and to the right or something like that, there's the Mount of Olives. Garden of Gethsemane's down below. Right. Right. Kind of at the base of it.
Right.
He's not even registered.
Yeah, you got to get closer to the mic.
Yeah, so the Garden of Gethsemane is right across the Kidron from the main gate to the old temple.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. Walk through there, the old olive trees.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Mount of Olives goes up right there. It's a pretty good sized hill.
Okay, we've done this before, so I'm not going to go through the whole process, except to say this. The disciples were distressed when Jesus said that. And the next sentence in Jesus, out of Jesus' mouth, was going to distress them even more. And if it distressed the disciples, why doesn't it distress us today?
Because we have Paul's different gospel. And he makes promises.
So Jesus answered and said to them, didn't go on with the prophecy, except he did. See to it that no one misleads you or deceives you.
How could they be
misled?
Many
will come in my name.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. How could the disciples be misled, having been taught directly by Jesus? How would it be possible?
Because Satan is very crafty.
Satan is very crafty, but that's not the answer. I want a specific answer.
Hmm.
Because they still weren't sure.
Uh-huh.
They still weren't sure.
They had doubts.
See to it that no one misleads you. Well, we've got people all over the place right now saying, you know, you're misleading people by telling us to not believe in Paul.
Mm-hmm.
That's misleading. Jesus would never have you say that to us.
Nice, warm, fuzzy feelings.
Oh, that was interesting. You would.
That's what I was told this week.
Yeah, go ahead and just relate that little. And please, no names.
I know.
We want to protect the innocent.
I agree.
Pull that closer, please.
I was talking to an individual this week and discussing Paul and the fact that he was the wolf in sheep's clothing. And I've been talking to this individual off and on now for a couple months. But yes, this week, I was told that they didn't want to hear any more about Paul, that they were happy with the warm, fuzzy feeling he gave them.
And then Larry almost said that.
Yeah.
He basically said that, I feel good.
The nice feeling is what they said.
Yeah.
And it broke my heart. But I'm not going to stop praying for them.
See to it that no one misleads you.
Yeah, and I brought that up.
So now, what are some of the ways that this misleading could occur? Let me ask you this. You guys, you're sitting here. if a demon spirit rose up out of the floor and stood right over there behind the chair that Rick usually sits at.
Right.
For no reason except just to scare the hell out of us. And he starts telling you what to believe. Would you believe anything
Mm-mm.
that he said?
Mm-mm.
Why not? How come you couldn't be misled by that, like a demon appearing before you? Because you can recognize that it's a demon.
Yeah.
And demons are liars.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe a word of it.
No. But if we go to Galatians 1, here's what Paul says. He agrees with you. Paul agrees that if you see an apparition, well, let me give it to you right here. Here it is.
Okay.
Galatians 1:6 through 9. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him, meaning Paul, who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want you to distort the gospel of Christ. And by the way, they were doing that. Because Paul was preaching the gospel of Christ, they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and Paul didn't like it. But even if we... Now listen to this,
mm-hmm.
or an angel from heaven, I will insert, or a demon from hell should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be cursed.
Wow.
He is to be cursed. As I have said before, so I will say again. If any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received from me, he is to be accursed. I got a question about that.
That's cursing God.
A little arrogant, don't you think?
Very arrogant.
Okay.
For our new people, Dennis, you said he did not like the gospel of the kingdom.
The gospel of the kingdom is what was being preached out of Jerusalem.
Paul didn't like it.
And Paul had been preaching a different gospel that he got from an apparition that called itself Jesus. And so when the disciples or the people that the missionaries that went came from the Jerusalem Council were sent out from the Jerusalem Council with the gospel of the kingdom as had been taught to them by the eyewitness disciples who heard it directly from Jesus' mouth,
right.
Paul said, if you hear a gospel that is different from mine, even if it is given to you by an angel from heaven, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He is to be accursed. Now, can an angel actually from heaven, from God, give you the incorrect gospel? Paul believed so. Paul believed that those angels could give a wrong gospel. And I have something that I just apropos of the discussion. How could Paul say that? How could Paul say, but even if we are an angel from heaven should preach to you, even if we? You see, he's saying, even if I preach to you, listen, if I go back on my word and I start preaching the gospel of the kingdom, don't believe it. You believe the gospel I taught to you. If an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what I have taught you, that angel is to be accursed. Now listen.
Wow.
How would he know that an angel from heaven would preach the gospel of the kingdom?
Because he knew.
Because an angel had probably come to him from heaven, from God, and said, you're doing it wrong. And Paul, having seen Jesus, quotes unquote, this being who called himself Jesus said, He's not coming back to earth until it's time to come back as the thief in the night.
Right.
So Paul sees an angel that has come to him and said, Paul, you're preaching the wrong gospel. You need to be getting with the gospel that the mm-hmm. eyewitnesses are teaching. You need to go mm-hmm. back to the gospel of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul looks at that angel and mm-hmm. says, you are from hell.
Ooh. Wow.
You are, I curse you in the name of the Jesus Christ that I know. I'm postulating this
mm-hmm.
only because, mm-hmm. yes, Paul was an arrogant, misogynistic SOB.
Yeah.
Misogynistic. He actually didn't like women. Mm-hmm. And it is Paul's writings that caused the Catholic Church to create nunneries where they could actually abuse mm. women. Now, another story. Why do you think the Catholic Church sponsors so many orphanages?
Yeah.
No, I got that directly from a guy who got it from a priest. So.
Wow. It makes sense.
We should. Paul is preaching a gospel that is different from the gospel of Christ, and he knows it, and I believe he was confronted with it mm. and decided to go with
it. Confirmed his feelings about his own gospel.
Right. An angel from heaven could have come to Paul and stood in front of him and said, I am from God. I have come from heaven, Paul, to tell you that you're preaching the wrong gospel. And if you don't change, things are going to go badly.
And that's still going on.
And Paul cursed him to his face
yeah.
and said, I'm going to go with what brung me. All right. So,
wow.
Here we go. Now we're getting to the good stuff. Back to Matthew 24. And this time we are going to go on to verse 11. Mm. 11 and 12. Many false prophets will arise and will lead many astray. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold.
Mm-hmm.
Lawlessness and love.
Mm-hmm.
What did Paul preach?
Love.
What did Paul preach? Lawlessness and love. Right here, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Paul preaches lawlessness and love. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians.
Mm.
But it is Paul who said, where there is no law, there is no violation.
Yeah.
But we need to take this a little bit further. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love for what will grow cold?
God.
The law.
Yeah, I've got a note here. The law of God frees them.
We've got lawlessness on one side of this equation. The comma is the equal sign.
Mm-hmm.
Because lawlessness is increased. Comma, that's the equal sign. Most people's love will grow cold. So one side has to balance the other in the equation.
Right.
Lawlessness is increased. Most people's love for the law
mm-hmm.
will grow cold. And what does Paul teach in Colossians 2? Shall we read it?
Yeah.
Let's go down to Colossians. Go to chapter 2. See, this is Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. By the way, empty deception, isn't that an oxymoron? Because isn't all deception empty?
Mm-hmm.
It's redundant at the very least. According to the tradition of men, by the way, what tradition was he talking about? See to it that no one take you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men? The Jerusalem Council. His enemy was the Jerusalem Council. Originally headed up by Peter and then subsumed by James, the brother of Jesus. According to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. What? We won't parse that. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over, listen, he is the head over all, and he is the head over all rule and authority. He is the head over all rule and authority. Where? To those who dwell in bodily form.
Wow.
Where do you dwell in bodily form?
Human.
On the earth.
Yeah, we're human.
This is where Paul states. And also in 2 Corinthians 13, this is where Paul states that temporal authority has authority over you and has been granted to them by God.
Hmm.
What is that text again?
That is Colossians 2:10.
What does it say there again?
And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised up with him through faith, working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled, listen, verse 14, canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross.
Oh my goodness.
Certificate of debt.
Wow.
Is the Ten Commands.
It was not nailed to the cross.
Consisting of decrees against us. The Ten Commandments shows you where you exist in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul here has said unequivocally that that is no longer in force and in play. What is that teaching? What is that teaching? It is the teaching of what? Lawlessness. If the law has been removed and there is no law that will condemn you anymore, what is the point of asking forgiveness for your sins if there is no law to convince you that you have sinned?
So this is not lawlessness like breaking the law in the streets and in the country.
I'm going to now make a connection. Thank you, Don. Here it is. Are the Ten Commandments the immutable, pre-existence of humans? Now and forever, law of God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Rich, I heard this last week, and this was in April 2011. The Ten Commandments are the first, and not the first, but they are an iteration, an expression of common law.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the basis for the common law as seen in little documents such as the Magna Carta, which stated that Englishmen are free in and of themselves, irrespective of the crown. The Ten Commandments are common law that pre and post exist anything. They have always been, they are now, and they always will be. Jesus Christ, according to Dr. Rich, and I believe this with all my heart, came to earth to recertify the common law. And he did that, by the way, in Matthew 5:17. Anybody care to guess what he said there? Well, let me read it. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. What does it mean to fulfill them? Did he say to fulfill them for you? Did he say to fulfill them so you don't have to fulfill them? He fulfilled them to do what? To recertify them.
Right.
Because for 1,000 years, ...800 years or whatever, the children of Israel had been diluting the common law with statutes, with legislation. And that dilution made of none effect that common law. Jesus said, remember what he said in Matthew 24:11. Remember it? Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. False prophets. What are false prophets teaching? Because lawlessness is increased. They are teaching lawlessness. And most people's love for the law will grow cold. The law that Jesus is talking about here is the law of the Ten Commandments, which is the common law.
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution of the United States is based in common law because the rights defined in that document are unalienable. The document says they're inalienable. That means unalienable. You cannot hawk them. You can't take them to a pawn shop and say, here, give me some cash for these rights. They exist. They pre-existed. And they will always exist on this earth. So we see lawlessness being increased in both the spiritual realm and in the temporal realm. False prophets preach, teach, and legislate lawlessness. And we are seeing this occur right and left now all over the world. And people are willing to give up their unalienable rights. Because they want to feel safe.
Yeah.
Your friend wants to feel safe.
Yeah.
And Paul makes her feel safe.
He gives her a warm, fuzzy feeling.
He gives her warm, fuzzy. And what does warm, fuzzy feelings? It means that I'm safe. I'm warm. Nothing can come through that door and can harm me.
My little world.
Okay?
Yeah.
The connection I want to make is between lawlessness and love. What must a person love in order to be, in order to demonstrate that they have been born again? Well, we went there already. What does a person, what must a person demonstrate if they want to demonstrate that they are now a member of the kingdom of heaven and have been born again?
Righteousness.
Specifically, Revelation 12, 17.
Commandments
of God. So the dragon was enraged with the woman, right, Don, and went off to make war with the rest of her children, those who keep the commandments of God
and hold
to the testimony of Jesus.
Right.
The commandments of God are common law.
Mm-hmm.
No, of course, they're anything but common. But the term
right.
is called common law, and Dr. Rich brought out Black's dictionary and the
mm-hmm.
and the definition of common law
mm-hmm.
in Black's dictionary. That is, it is law. All have a beginning point and an ending point in time. They are for a specific group of people. For instance, in the late 1800s, very late 1800s, early 1900s, it was illegal to drive a motor car on the street of most towns in the United States.
Hmm.
Why? Because the backfiring scared the heck out of the horses, and they had people getting run away, you know,
yeah.
and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
So they made a law saying that you had to park off the main street in many towns.
Now.
Okay? That does not apply today.
Nope.
That law is over.
Hmm.
But we still have a law on the books that says in both the Ten Commandments and in civil law
mm-hmm.
that says you should not murder. By the way, that commandment is not thou shalt not kill. It is thou shalt do no murder.
Really? Wow.
There has always been justifiable homicide. Always.
Hmm.
If there wasn't, then how could God order Israel to go kill in the name of the kingdom of heaven?
So how do you define murder?
Murder is unjustified homicide.
Hmm. Never thought about it that
way. Unjustified homicide.
Wow.
When Israel was being attacked by her enemies and God sent the army out on his behalf,
mm-hmm.
did they ever lose?
No.
Did they lose at Ai?
Yes.
Big time. Thousands of Israelite soldiers were killed at Ai. Why? Because the king said, we're going to go fight. But God hasn't said that. The prophet said, God didn't tell you to go fight. We're fighting anyway.
Mm.
And they were massacred.
Mm.
So, I want you to get the connection between lawfulness and lawlessness, between true love and a love that masquerades as true.
Mm.
And I think, was it Rick that did this? I think so. The little story about, you know, you're married to your wife and she says, you know, I really love you, but, you know, I've met this guy and we're going to go to Hawaii together and we're going to mess around and I'm going to take 2 weeks off and I'm coming back to you. Is that expressing love? Well, it is, but it isn't the principled love that would tell her to say no to this guy. There are statutes and there is common law. Anything that is legislated, for instance, the traditions of men, Jesus pointed this out to the Pharisees in the seven woes. They had made it so difficult to keep the letter of the law that the principle behind it got lost. And so they were legislating. They got together at Sanhedrin and says, you can't walk more than 200 paces on Sabbath or whatever it was. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when the disciples went through the cornfield or the wheat field and started stripping wheat off and rubbing it in their hands and getting the kernels and popping it in their mouth, they were harvesting. So all of that had been legislated. Was it lawful? No. It was legal.
Mm-hmm.
Legal is legislated. It was not lawful because lawful is only based in common law. And the common law of the Bible is the Ten Commandments. And so when people tell you, well, it doesn't matter what we do. We can do anything, say anything. We can lie. We can cheat on our taxes. We can do anything we want because God has already saved us. I am in God, because Paul said, I'm saved by grace through faith.
Mm-hmm.
By George, I believe that, and that gives me warm and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
Those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ are the ones that demonstrate that they have been born again.
So when are we going to start seeing that? Since nobody's in the kingdom now.
I don't know. That's up to God. But if you're not working on keeping the commandments of God, by the way, is any one of those commandments difficult to keep?
No.
Jesus even said, it's not too hard for you. This is easy. This should be a no-brainer.
Yeah. You think?
Yeah, don't do any murder.
Yeah.
Some guy breaks in your house and starts beating up on your wife, go ahead and kill him. That's justified. I'm just saying that. But why won't God keep me from being broken in? Because your house exists in the kingdom of the world, not in the kingdom of heaven. So, we got 2 minutes. What do you guys think? What do you think of it? The connection between lawlessness, lawfulness, and common law.
But I think it's pretty straightforward. But see, we haven't been taught to think that way. We've been taught all kinds of things that we probably need to erase and start over.
At the very least, we need to reassess. Now,
see, it's that concept of leaven. You know, if you shouldn't have leaven in your dough and all of a sudden you need to get rid of it, what options do you have? You got to get rid of the whole dough and start over.
Right.
You can't get rid of it.
Right.
Jesus says, beware of the
You got to throw the whole batch out and start again. And this is one of the reasons why God said when preparing for atonement that you had to, or Passover even, you had to get rid of all of the yeast in the house. And by the way, there couldn't be a gram of it left. You had to get rid of the whole thing. So, thank you, everyone, for putting up with me today and putting up with us. Rick will be back tomorrow on his cell phone, so we will get that all set up. I encourage you to go to our website located at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find all sorts of great writing by Rick and a book called The Spirit of the Church by Rick and me. We encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. So on behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now, and we hope that you will join us tomorrow. Thanks a bunch.